Hello, welcome to Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. I am Magda Pillay, and it is my pleasure to have in the studio with me today Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for several decades. The topic that we'll be taking up today is one of transformative wisdom, and Sister Denise has a special interest in what she calls conventional morality. And she asks that you take a look at your own value system, your own conscience, and together with that, the way you speak and the way you behave, and ask yourself whether your beliefs actually about the person who you really are translates into your words as well as your behavior. And you'll see that there's a Grecian set behind us. And so the format of today's show is what we call Socratic dialogue, which is a process whereby I put questions to Sister Denise in order to elicit a universally understood truth. Sister Denise, a very warm welcome to today's show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Transformative wisdom is quite a fascinating topic. Why transformative? What's wrong with conventional wisdom?
Conventional wisdom has actually led us to the place where we are, and the place where we are is not comfortable. People in general are asking, what is wrong with the world? How did we get to the situation we're in? And so definitely there needs to be some change. So we need to have some kind of a wisdom which leads to the change that we want. This is why the idea of transformative wisdom.
Okay, and so what needs to transform, or who needs to transform?
Well, the human race needs to transform, and human beings, human society is vast. I think we're something in the region of 7 to 8 billion people, but it's also the case that it doesn't need very many people to actually be the agents of change. So even if a small number of people does some very deep work on themselves and really transforms their consciousness and consequently their karma, the way they are, the way they think, that can be enough to create a complete change in human society.
And how would one even start doing this?
I think that the most powerful entity there is the intelligent being who is the knower of the universe, whom some call God, the higher power, the intelligence of the wise. This intelligence touches some people and inspires them to become agents of change, and this is how it all happens.
And you know, I'm looking at the way we function generally, okay, and I know you don't like generalizations. So if somebody is quite deeply involved in their lives, as all of us are, we all have responsibilities, we have families, this, that and the other, although people go to various religious institutions, depending where in the globe they live, we tend not to stop and introspect to the degree that you're asking. What is required for us to come to that point where we've got to say to ourselves, listen, it's just not working?
Probably your experience of life. And it happens to a lot of people that when they reach a point, sometimes a point of crisis, it becomes a trigger to get them to question, what am I doing? How did I get to this situation? And this will provoke that deep inner questioning, and maybe a person will just abruptly stop what they normally do, or they may be stopped by an accident or an illness or some kind of life-changing circumstance which then forces the person to reconsider their whole self. And I think that while it's maybe very traumatic or very distressful, it can actually result in a turnaround in a person's life. And you hear of quite a lot of cases like this these days. It's happening.
Is there a difference between wisdom and spiritual wisdom?
Well, I think wisdom is wisdom is wisdom.
Okay. And if an individual now decides to make this huge life-changing decision that the way he functions, the way his conscience functions, doesn't work for him anymore, how will he go about bringing the change after the accident, after he's in remission from the cancer, after a loved one has passed on? How does he start with, what is the starting point?
I think that what you've just described is the starting point.
Okay.
Something happens, and then you start thinking. Once you start thinking, you stop the momentum of your life, or it was stopped for you, then you're still for a moment. You're at a crossroads. You can't carry on the way you were because something abruptly stopped it. So then you look around and you say, okay, well, what are the options? And you consider the different options in front of you, and sometimes none of them are sufficiently interesting. So then you go deeper inside and you really start questioning some of the fundamentals of your existence. And this is where you start to really bring your mind onto a more spiritual level, because all the things on the outside of your life don't work. So you bring yourself to the inside, which is the spiritual dimension.
What do you mean fundamentals?
The fundamentals, well, what is the purpose of my life? That's a fundamental question. Who am I? That's a fundamental question. Very difficult to answer those questions. What am I doing? What do I think I'm doing? Who do I think I am? Why am I here anyway? Why am I alive? Sometimes a person will even come to a near-death experience, but they will be alive and they will ask, well, I've been given extra time, now what am I going to do with it? So these can be very, very powerful experiences that cause a person to start thinking in ways they never had thought before, and everything comes into question.
Okay. It's possible, though, that the negative experience can make somebody more negative and take them further into an abyss, as it were.
Well, so whatever the experience does, it may not be negative necessarily. It's how you take it which determines whether it's positive or negative. But something that stops you in your tracks and forces you to go deep inside, because when, you know, everything closes in upon you and there's nowhere to go except in, you see.
Okay. So didn't you say, I heard the expression a while ago, that it is said that loneliness is the cancer of the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
Let us use that scenario, because it's a very common phenomena and something that a lot of our viewers would identify with. And one can be lonely when you're in a relationship, one can be lonely when you're single. So if you're experiencing intense loneliness, so much so that it causes aching sorrow, how will what you just said, how will a soul use what you just said to heal?
It depends, because loneliness is an idea, a feeling, an inability to relate. You've burnt all your bridges, and what you're more likely to do with loneliness is go into depression, and then from that you go into drugs, and then when you get to an extreme point there, then that might be critical enough for you to really start thinking what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
When you speak about wisdom, are you referring to something that just goes on up here, or you're referring to wisdom as regards the way a human being functions on the outside as well? Because wisdom,
Wisdom.
my definition of wisdom is, well, Socrates, sitting there looking all smart in Greek and Plato. That's the my picture of wisdom. So what does wisdom mean to you, but on a practical level? Is it a thought thing, or is it a what?
Someone who's wise means they're experienced, they've been around, they think about everything that happens, they're looking for what is the best outcome, what is the best way to work with what you have. They study, they learn, they're deep, they're experienced, they're strong, and all of that combination leads to action which is very considered, which bears in mind the consequences for large numbers of people. This then becomes wisdom. So
So,
it's internal as well as external.
okay. How do you know that you're on the right track? Wisdom is an extremely attractive virtue because there's, if we look at human functioning, when we hit crisis mode, we go to somebody whom we trust for advice. Usually the wisest person that we know and somebody who cares about us. So, how do you know that you're on the right track and that you are transforming for the better? Because sometimes you can transform, and you think you're going in the right direction, but a few years down the line you think, what was I thinking?
I don't think it's really like that. Transformative wisdom, if we look at this phrase, transformative wisdom is that you come to an understanding where you understand, you realize, you see what change has to happen, and you recognize that it must be done, and then you begin to do it.
Okay, and is it a day-to-day thing? How does one go about this practically? Denise, do you at the end of every day think, okay, how am I going to be wiser tomorrow? Do you take it situation by situation? And does wisdom only belong to the thinker? The reason I'm asking this is because a lot of people who have not much confidence in their intellects, like you do, are more intuitive. They're more into feelings and gut feelings, as it were, trust your instinct kind of thing.
But it's still a kind of thought, you see.
Okay.
So that person who's in touch with themselves is aware of what they're thinking, aware of their feelings, they're looking at the consequences of their action, they're looking very realistically at what their situation is, what they're surrounded with, and they're trying to take into consideration all the different factors, from the most subtle to the most gross, and then proceed. And how you know that you are heading in the right direction is that the outcome of what you do is like a verification and validation, and it gives you positive feedback that keep going in this direction. And if you find a negative feedback, you have to evaluate that, because sometimes you get a block, an obstacle, which just will not move. And very often you find that you have to actually rise and move yourself to a higher level of consciousness, and that the road forward is at a higher level. So you're blocked until you reach that level, then you can go forward.
Okay, you have to expand on that. It is extremely profound. Say more.
Well, there are different levels on which you operate, and if a person is operating relatively superficially, relatively materialistically, and then it's like you can't go any further.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. Is the opposite of wisdom superficiality?
Well, the opposite of wisdom is stupidity.
Stupidity, okay. Okay, so someone in your scenario is making superficial choices and he gets blocked by life. And then, continue.
Then he can't move until he's really thought his situation through. And this, just the act of thinking about your situation forces you in contact with your conscience, and you start having to put two and two together and coming up with some answers. And eventually you get some insight, and the insight is what's going to help you to rise to the next level.
Okay. What if you're a person who's extremely emotional, whose internal world resembles the machine that an EKG machine, heartbeat. Okay. Yes. So as opposed to flatlined. So what if you're exceptionally emotional and always have been, like a lot of our viewers are, and wisdom is something that doesn't come naturally to you? How do you manage, if you're wise, how do you manage your feelings? How do you manage your emotions?
Well, if your emotions are up and down like this, like a sort of a manic depressive, are you talking about that?
Not necessarily somebody who's been diagnosed, but some people have high and low lows, and that's the way they function.
So then we would say this is an unstable person.
Okay.
And the person is moved by being reactive to stimulations, and so they're not detached. They are easy to provoke, and so they are easily victims of their circumstances, and so they would need to think a little deeply about what's important and learn how to have a certain amount of detachment and dispassion, because if you're much more steady and stable, then you're going to make better decisions. Because if you're very up and down, your decisions will be made based on whether you're up or whether you're down, and they will be very volatile decisions, which will be inconsistent and sometimes even incoherent.
I'm hearing what you're saying. You're implying that somebody who's wise is rational?
Well, they're stable, steady. It's good to be rational.
Okay, what are the other virtues involved in wisdom? What are the other qualities?
I think far-sighted. Empathetic.
Okay, hold on. You need to define these words for the viewers, because it's not words that we hear every single day. Okay, far-sighted in the context of being wise means?
Far-sighted means that you are able to figure out what's going to happen next. You can see the trends that are heading towards the future.
Okay, so wisdom, rational, and far-sighted.
Okay. Sensitive.
Two.
Sensitive to people's feelings, sensitive to atmosphere, vibration, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But very dispassionate. I think dispassionate nature is a good sign of a wise person.
And what is your definition of dispassionate? Passionate is a common word, but dispassionate, that common?
Dispassionate is really that you're not up and down. Your feelings are under your control.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a person who has command over your emotions. You will not let them get the better of you.
Ah, okay. So somebody who's wise is not controlled by their emotions.
Right.
Okay, and yet so many people are. Why is it that when we know that we're not wise, don't take any steps to become wise? Why do we remain in a situation that's no longer working for us? What is that about? Because there are millions of examples across the world of people who know that they will experience more unhappiness as a result of doing this, as a result of seeing this person who makes you unhappy, but they go there anyway.
For a lot of people, even if it's hell, at least you know it.
Going into an unknown territory is
too scary. You don't know. You don't have the equipment. You don't have the tools. you know very well how to be in hell, so okay, it's hell, but I know how to manage it. Go to heaven, I don't know how to do that.
You mentioned fear. Is that one of the things that stops us from being wise, fear?
Well, a wise person will have to be courageous. You have to be able to face your fears.
Okay, so fear is one of the blocks of wisdom. Anything else?
Well, any of the negative emotions, you have to be able to deal with them.
Mm.
All the different vices.
Mm.
You know, if you are scared of them, if you avoid them, if you pretend they're not there, denial, ego, any of that. I think humility is a very good attribute of wisdom.
Okay. So Denise, how does ego come into play when it comes to the virtue of wisdom? You mentioned this in one of your previous talks. How does it impact on being, as far as wisdom is concerned?
Well, if a person is ego-based or having a big ego, that ego is a mask. That person is fused with that mask, operates on the basis of that mask, which is not their real self. And that by itself is unwise because it's not real.
Mm.
The wise person will go for what's real.
Mm.
And the real self is, you know, you have to go into your vulnerability.
Mm.
You have to be willing to expose yourself.
Mm.
You have to be what you are, the same thing inside and out. Ego is often said to be ego of something. Ego of your position, ego of your status, ego of your money, ego of something, which is actually ephemeral. And so you're identifying and putting all your energy into being something that you're not. Then sooner or later it will fail you, it will crumble.
Okay.
Then you're in trouble.
Which brings the person to a crisis point.
Yes, you see.
Okay.
And crisis is doesn't feel good, but it's usually a very good opportunity.
Mr. Denise, you know, when adversity strikes, I'm of the view that one can do one of two things with it. You can either use it as a reason to sink into an all-time low, or you can face it head-on. Why is it that we find it so difficult to see the silver lining?
Well, because it's difficult to see, and so you have to look for it. You have to train your eyes, and you know, for a person to take adversity and turn it to their advantage and face it, they have to have a lot of courage. So it will be a minority of people who will be able to work with adversity in that way, but they exist and they tell their story to inspire other people. But still another person may yet say, oh well, that's all very well for you, but not me, you know.
Mm.
Eventually it comes down to how you relate to yourself.
Mm.
And if you can't just get to grips with yourself and get a hold of your courage and take a step, you will sink. And a very interesting spiritual law is that when you do take a step of courage, take a real risk. Anything can happen when you take a risk, but this is the moment where you start to bring in call upon and receive help from a divine source. And that is a very powerful thing.
And in what way does God impact on one's own journey to become wise?
Well, it's at these moments of where you just have to take a risk, because you're going into unknown territory.
Mm.
As soon as you go into unknown territory, you don't know.
Mm.
So it takes courage. You're walking into somewhere totally unknown, but you just do it. In spite of everything that tells you not to do it, because you don't know, it's unfamiliar, and then you get this help.
Okay.
It could be a vibration, it could be a feeling, it could be circumstances, it could be everything comes together for you. So many subtle ways in which you receive that help.
Okay. Well, this is the end of today's episode. Thank you so much, Sister Denise, for sharing her thoughts on bringing the virtue of wisdom into our practical lives. Sister Denise shared what virtues support the quality of wisdom and what negative traits within the human soul what takes one away from being wise. And she also stated that it's normally when things go badly wrong in one's life that it comes in the form of a messenger to tell us that we need to wake up and take a re-look at our lives. Very inspiring message, and I hope that you can find your own wisdom. I mean, obviously wisdom is not a general quality, it's a very personal one, but here's hoping that you can take a few of these gems that you heard today and use it to inspire yourself into making your life wiser. From what I sensed, from what Sister Denise was sharing, that wiser people are, well, they're actually the happiest on the planet. Okay, so good luck on your own spiritual journey, and thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Sister Denise, for being in the studio with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, and goodbye.